I confess that when Pastor Ross called me, I didn't want to do it because no one wants to talk about bad things, isn't it, about yourself. We got this image of Christians, we are all holy and lovely and kind and sweet, isn't it? So when you go to your past, you go and expose yourself, and it's pretty hard, isn't it? But to talk about the good things that God did to me, I have to go and tell the bad things that happened to me. So I'm going to start to talk about a little bit about myself. I brought up in Brazil. I'm born in Brazil with a family of four kids. I'm the oldest one of them. My mom is a single mom, a very, very poor family. For a very poor family. I'm born by the state, by Amazon, if you have heard about it. It's a big jungle in there. So it's not much civilization, it's not much going on. Life is very hard, lots of farms. So my mom left me to be brought up with my grandmother, and she went to try a life in the big city called São Paulo. And then, so for a few years, until my 5 years old, I was living with my grandmother. She obviously, bless her, wasn't very, because of she had to work so many places, she couldn't look after me so much. And even she could, there's predators everywhere. So I remember this old man who constantly was looking for kids around, and unfortunately I was one of them. So I've been a little bit, for a year, sexually abused. But thank God that was not for long, because my mommy came and took us. But she couldn't take all our kids or our brother. She just took me and my sister, and the other kids she had to give it to the parents, the fathers, because she couldn't afford to look after all us. So we came to São Paulo to live with my stepfather and her. She met this wonderful man, Asian guy from Japan, who was very rich, very well-educated. She gave us a very good life. I went to a nice school. We got a beautiful house. We look like we have it all. I was thinking that time, money is all we need in life. If you're rich, you're happy, because you can buy all the stuff that I didn't have when I was a little child. So my family was half Buddhist. My stepfather was Buddhist, so I used to go to the Buddhist temple, put incense to the Buddha. And I also used to go to the Catholic church with my mom, put candles to the holy saints. Yeah, but the deep, deep truth, it was nothing was working in my house. My mom suffered with a very depression. She wasn't happy in her marriage, so she was constantly trying suicidal. I saw about four times, and to the point that I was really not even cared anymore. I was like, oh my God, God, just take her. I didn't even believe in God. For me, God was like something far away, and I didn't disbelieve in anything, but I didn't believe in anything. For me, it was like all religions. About the age of 13, I started smoking my first spliff. Weed, marijuana. That was my way to escape of my house and the arguments that my stepfather and my mom used to have constantly, because obviously she wasn't happy, so she always in her room crying, tears and stuff. So I started smoking weed. By the age of 16, I was completely addicted. I smoked weed every single day. My sister, I even put my sister, who was younger, she was like 3 years younger than me, to also start to smoke with me. We were like everywhere. For young people, like I want to say, that time my stepfather and my mom decided to open a restaurant, and it was very successful. So we got really good situation. My sister and I was very popular in school and stuff. I went to do this prepared course before university. So we were like all the clubs. We were traveling everywhere, you know, really thinking this is the life of being young, you know. But every time we come home, we're empty. We could kiss the most beautiful boy in the club, drink all the drinks, take all the drugs. We are not taking actually heavy drugs, just marijuana. In that time, for me, it was light, because what comes after is much more. But I used to come home and cry with my sister. We were like feeling something was missing. You know, you try to satisfy yourself, but there's nothing. Even the Bible says in 1 John 2:16 that these things are lust, isn't it? These things in the world will just please yourself, but your soul is starving for something else, is crying for something else. So, by the age of 19, my parents divorced. because they complete bankrupt. The restaurant was going very down because the business that was in front moved out. So they are complete out of money. They have to sell our house, sell our cars. Everything went downhill. No Buddha, no the Catholic Church, holy saints. My mom put candles. She started taking candles the size of the statues and going there on the 28th of, I don't even remember the month. Was August was the some spirit. I don't know, some saint that she believes. And we were going there, putting the candle. I was just thinking, oh God, this is so bad. Doesn't help nothing. Didn't help nothing really. They divorced. Everything went down. Then I have a friend who came and said to me about Europe. He told me that he just came from London and this dream life in Europe is amazing, that you can get very rich and get all your money and work and everything. So I talked to my mom. She helped me to come. I decided to, he told me he has a friend in Spain. So I decided to go to Spain because that's what I got a friend. On the way to coming to Europe in an aeroplane thinking, oh my God, so many dreams. So many dreams to happen. So I came to the, and when I walked to the airport, was this young girl in there from Brazil, very glamorous. And she was saying to me she was going to London. If I need any help, she will help me in London. So I was with her in my mind. I got her email and everything. Went to Spain. In there didn't work. Was the we ended up going with this boy's house where they like, I don't know, they break their houses and they're living, you know, without paying bills. It was a mess. So I decided, no, I need to get out of this place. So I got a ticket and an Eurocar and went to France, got the ticket, came to London in Waterloo. I remember ringing her. She came to pick me up. And then when I came to see her, I got involved with this group of girls and my life went really dark. I was only 21 years old when I came to UK. I didn't speak English. I didn't have anyone else here. And I knew I couldn't go back because my mom depends on me. So I have to stay here. I couldn't go back. I started using lots of drugs, all type of drugs with this group. Go every club, sexual, everything you can imagine, darkness I went through with these girls. And then my soul was so tired. I was just so tired of this life. And that took about 3 years. And then I was in a club one night and I met these boys who just came to UK and they were going to Como to Newquay. And I always like beach and surfing and stuff. So they told me, why don't you come with us? So there we go. Again, I got a dream of life. Oh my God, this is going to be amazing. I'm going to live by the sea. I'm going to get a good job and everything. So I went to Newquay. And in there, I found in love with this young boy who was, oh, just beautiful, perfect. I thought, oh my God, my life's going to be changed. So many times we think if we meet the right person, our life's going to be amazing. I tell you what, no. If you don't have God in your heart, if you don't accept Jesus, it will not change because people are messed up. People are complete broke. We need God in our lives. He made us for relationship with him. So you think, I'm finding the perfect woman. I'm going to be so happy. No, you know, you can find it, but you're not going to be it. Well, this was very disappointing for me because I thought I'm going to meet this guy and I'll be so happy. He have anger issue. So he used to be very angry for no reason, got very jealous with everything. He used to break the whole apartment. He used to even be aggressive towards me. So I ended up pregnant. And then I was really, really sad because I knew I couldn't have a kid with that man because it wouldn't be a nice thing for the kid. And I believe in that time that the kid would go to another family. I got this cuckoo head. So I, my mom came to UK. I told her I was pregnant. So by my mom's incentive, and by the government help, I had my abortion. And it was very, you think you're taking a very big thing of your life and you'll be fine. But that moment, everything went down. I've never been a depressed person, even with the things I went through. I always look positive in life that time. But I, that time, I just, I went really sad. I started to get depression. I started to cry. I went to live with my mom in Brighton. And all the time, all I could do is just cry in my room. My mom tried to put me in an English course so I can meet people, but still, I just come home, smoke weed, cry in my room, really upset. But then, that's what the amazing moment in my life. a friend from my from Brazil who used to go club with me was as crazy as I was, Samara. She came to visit me just for the weekend. She just needed 2 days to show me what God does to people's life when he really have an encounter with you. Even my hair's sticking up. She came to meet me, and I looked at her. I could see she was different. She got this light on her, and she used to smoke cigarettes a lot and drink alcohol a lot. So first thing I did, I took a cigarette and I started smoking. I'm like, do you want? And she's like, no, I don't smoke anymore. I was like, what? And she's like, yeah, I stop it. I said, right, do you want some vodka then? And she was like, no vodka, I don't drink. I was like, what? What happened to you? And then she said to me, Paola, I became Christian. So then I went really shocked. I was like, what? Are you those peoples who going to give money to the pastors? You know, this is, you know, they are opportunists to these peoples. You know, this religion is all about get poor people. Because in Brazil, we had that mind settled about poor people go to Protestant church and give them money to... There is lots of opportunists, I'm not going to lie, in Brazil, in poor countries especially. No, in here, we don't see much asking like that. But my friend just started looking to me and said to me very into my eyes, I'm not talking about pastors or church. I'm talking about this Jesus that changed people's life until today. Not this Jesus that you learn in the Catholic Church that's dead in there, far away from you. I'm talking about this Jesus that it's changed your life, Paola. And I was like, really? Wow, I can tell you've been changed. Wow, amazing for you. But you know what? I got a party tonight. You come with me then. Because if you're so changed, you'll be fine to go to the party, isn't it? And then she looked at me and she said, yeah, of course. Yes, I will. So we went to the club in the night. And then I got complete smash. Complete head of my head. And she was drinking only orange juice all the party. And then when we got home, we went to sleep. And the next day, she came to talk to me with some authority. Because when you have that power on you, and you know, she came and said to me and said, Paola, I need to talk to you. And I said, well, and she said, do you know how you were yesterday? I said, yeah, drunk. And I said, well, good you did. And then she's like, Paola, you are really, it's so sad to see when people are drunk because you are completely lost your mind. It's so shame to see such a nice, beautiful person in that such a way, you know. God didn't made you for that. He got a plan for you. He got a purpose for your life. And then it started hitting my heart because for the first time, she was like me. So how could she be so transformed and have such a wise word? Because God, when you give your life to God, God's going to use you. He's going to give you wisdom. He's going to give you power, you know, but if you let it. So she had the power to talk to me the way that hits me so hard. No one could say that, by the way. If you stop me on the streets and talk about Jesus, I was going to tell you, get away from me. But she has that power, and that's the Holy Spirit on her. And then I start to say to her, so what do I need to do? And that was my first step for God. Do you need to do your first step? She told me how to pray. She said, first of all, Paula, you need to go to your room, close the door, and you need to go on your knees, and you need to confess to God that you believe that Jesus is his son, that he died on the cross for your sins, and that you need to... He will forgive you for all your sins, but you need to confess one by one. Try to remember everything you've done. The Bible says that if you think you are not a sinner, you are a liar. Because everyone sins. Everyone took something for a friend sometime when you're younger and you think you didn't steal. So everybody says a lie and say, oh, that wasn't a lie. I just made it up a little bit. Everybody have been done something bad, you know. Pornography, addictions, whatever you do, everyone got some issues. It's time to confess. If you want to be fulfilled with the Holy Spirit, you have to repent yourself. So that day she said, tell God everything you've done, all the things. And it started coming to my mind, all the things, you know. And I was like, okay. And then she said, also, you need to forgive everyone. This is a difficult part because many people don't want to forgive people, especially when they do something very harmful to you, like the abuse and stuff. But you know what? When you forgive people, you set yourself free. Amen. You relieve your heart. And that day, she said that to me. I was like, okay, right, I'm thinking about that one. And then she told me something that is amazing and I encourage you to do. Ask God to do something in your life that no one can do it. And then she said, but don't ask something stupid like buy a Mercedes or anything. These things you can get if you work hard. Something that you know that only him can do it to prove that he exists. And I remember after the abortion, that time when she comes, the doctor told me that I was going to be bleeding only for 3 weeks maximum. I was bleeding every single day for 3 months. 3 months I have a period, and I don't stop. It was really traumatizing for me. God knows, you know, he wants me to surrender to him. So that time when she told me that, straight away came into my mind this, and also came to my mind my addiction with marijuana, because I want to stop. Many times I thought, my God, this is not good. This is not, no, this is not letting me go anywhere. I'm stuck in this drug, but I couldn't let it go. Every day I said, I'm not going to smoke it, but I was going to get in rolling another one, you know. So she said to me also that she had a beautiful Bible, white Bible, I'll never forget. And she said, you need to know who is Jesus by yourself. Know what people say to you. Stop and listen what people say to you about Jesus. Start and read it yourself. He will reveal to you who he is, because the Spirit of God will give you wisdom to you. She said, starting from the New Testament, because the Old Testament is all about Jesus. So you need to know first about Jesus so you understand the old one. Because I said to her, I don't understand about Eve and Adam. This is crazy. She said, yeah, the Bible says that the things about the Bible, about God, it's crazy for those who doesn't have the Spirit of God. So you need to have the Spirit of God to understand. And that comes from Jesus. So she said, start with Matthew. All the disciples tell us about what they saw. So I was like, okay, I didn't even know that. I was like, Matthew, Mark, Luke, they all tell you stories about Jesus, but in different ways, but all the same stories. Interesting that, isn't it? So I started to read Matthew and I started to complete, but I was listening to her. So she went home that night and I went to sleep. I smoked another spliff, not going to lie. Bit stupid, and then I went to sleep. But the second morning, I woke up thinking about Jesus. I was like, "What the heck is Jesus? I'm gonna have to go on my knee." And that day, so powerful. It is crazy what happened to me. No drug, nothing can explain that. No sex, nothing. I went on my knee and I said to God, I closed the door. I didn't. Took this spliff that time, and because I was just smoking this first thing in the morning, it was my breakfast. So I went to my knees and I said, God, I don't know you. I never prayed. I never believe anything, but I'm so tired. And if you are God, I believe Jesus came and he's your son, like she said, because I can see her life, what he did to her. And I believe he died on the cross, and I believe he forgave her sins because she's a new person. I just want to be a new person too. I just want to have a chance to forget everything that I went through my life. I just want to forgive me for killing my baby, for smoking, for all the drugs, for all the promiscuous life, for all the stuff I've done, for the lies, for the thieves, for everything. For the bad, sometimes, things that you say to people. You hurt people all the time and you don't know what's going to them, you know? So it came a move in my head. Everything that God was putting in my head, I was like, sorry for this, Lord. I started crying so much. It was like unbelievable. I just didn't stop crying. And I started to feel hot. So hot. Like my face was going to burn. And I couldn't even feel the flood under my knees. I was so empowered in there. I just don't know what took over me. But now I know it was the Holy Spirit. But I just started cry. And I said to God, I forgive that man who abused me. I forgive my mom for letting me down in there. I forgive everyone. I forgive my dad who I never met. I forgive all the things that happened to me. And then I just ask you to please forgive me and don't let me bleeding anymore. I just want to wake up tomorrow and then it's normal girl again. I just want to stop smoking weed. And I just can't. I'm just constantly smoking this terrible stuff. I just don't want to drink anymore or cigarettes, nothing that is unnecessary, that's killing my body, that you created. And then I cry, and I just felt that something just took all my head, all my weight over me. It was like, you can't explain. It's that ecstasy of the ecstasy, for people who took drugs, I don't know, you know, that feeling, I'm like, whoa, I was like, complete take it over. I can't explain in drugs or anything. It was just crazy. And then when I finished my prayer, I came downstairs and my mom saw me and said, "What's happened to you?" And I said, "Mom, I accept Jesus." And she was like, "That's it." Went crazy again. Because I've been a Rastafari rock star. Everything you can imagine as a teenager, I've been. Anything. Guns N' Roses fan number one, everything. And my mom said, "This is a new thing now. She's going to be the Christian girl now." But then I started to read the scriptures and I started to fall in love with Jesus. Like I said, I started to read everything about him. And everything was hitting me. It was like he was talking to me. That the Bible says that when you receive the word, you will be set free, isn't it? The truth will set you free. I was free indeed. That moment I was starting complete a new life. My eyes was open, like happened to Paul when he was going to Damascus. His the eyes open. I could start to see the world complete different. People, I feel sorry for everybody. I was like, "Oh, poor person's crazy." You know, you're starting to feel love for everybody. You don't hate anybody anymore. It's just like, probably it's what much more, obviously, what Jesus feels for us. Sorry every time we messed up. He's like, "Oh, dear, poor God, oh, look at them. I feel so sorry." I was like that. And I could see the misery of my mom on drinks. And she wasn't taking drugs, but she was drinking and smoking a lot. So I called Samara and I said, "Samara, you won't believe it. I felt what you said." My friend probably thinking, "Oh, okay, she's a little busy." And I said, "Samara, you don't understand. I completely felt." And guess what? The next day, I was completely healed by the bleeding, by the way. It was absolute a miracle. It was crazy. I just woke up. I was like, "Oh my God, I haven't got a period." No, this is crazy. God definitely exists. I would start to see all the... Because when you accept him, he starts to show all the signs that he's real. You will be surprised. You'll be shocked. You're like, "Oh my God." They say his grace come up here. His grace is just unbelievable. So I was like, not bleeding anymore. And then I started looking to the marijuana. I said, "I just don't want this anymore." I got all the marijuana and throw in the bin. That was a miracle for me because I would never do that. I throw in the bin and then I called my friend, told her, and then I said to my mom, "Mom, I'm going to have to move because I couldn't leave it in that place." Sometimes you are in the middle of people who they don't know the Lord. It's not their fault. You need to get away from that. You need to get away from the place where the sin is constantly there because you need to have this new life. You are a new creator. You're a new creation. You need a new life. So I said to my mom, "I have to go." My mom was very disappointed. She wasn't happy. But the world will hate you, by the way. When you accept Jesus, your people are going to turn it back to you. Your family is going to turn it back to you. Because the Bible says so. You'll be persecuted by my name. I have my sister who was my best friend. I called her Stephanie. I used to call her and said, "I'm smoking a massive spliff." She's, "Woohoo, me too." And I called her and I said, "Oh my God, you're a believer. I confess to Jesus. I believe in Jesus." She's beep, beep, beep. I was like, "Oh my God, my best friend. What the?" She has power. And then she called me back and said, "You stupid." She was so angry. Poor thing. Because the world cannot accept the truth. God, it's too much. So it took time for her. But what happened is I went to live with my friend. She took me to her church. When the pastor preached the first preaching there, he didn't even say, didn't wait too long to say who want to accept Jesus. I was the first one in there. I already accept, but I want to accept it all the time. I was there. I was reading all the time my Bible and everything. I start to pray for my mom every single day. Every single day I was praying for my mom, every single morning. I start fasting. The Bible says there's demons that will only live your life. There is addictions that only going to live your life if you're fasting. Jesus fasting, Moses fasting, Esther fasting. She got whole salvation for her city. Jonas, fasting is very important. You know, give some food is very important for our bodies. When our bodies are weak, our spirits are strong. So I started calling God for my mom because I feel that in my heart. So in the morning, on and off, I was like, in the morning, no breakfast. My breakfast was the Bible and the fasting. And I was like, "God, I don't accept my mom like that. I don't accept." In 1 year, my mom accepted Jesus Christ. Complete. Gave her life to God. She's got amazing testimony. She was puffing. Imagine 4 kids, so many lies, so many stuff. But she had amazing encounter with Jesus, and now she's a new person. My sister, who was a dread Rastafari surfy girl, complete transformed by God, accepted Jesus as well. Have a new life, amazing family. Love Jesus so much, so much. But That's what happened to us, yeah. So what happened is, I was going to say, this comes to a very important part. God was using me so much. I started to go to places and telling about my testimony, and people was feeling, people was receiving, because it's true. My life, I'm not saying nothing here, it's not true. I'm telling what happened to me. You believe or not, this is by you and the Holy Spirit. I'm not here to convince you. The Holy Spirit will do, maybe today, maybe in 10 years, maybe, I don't know. So God was using me. He was so merciful, so wonderful to me. But I started, I said to my pastor and my family, I want to go to Brazil because that's my language. I want to be a missionary. I want to go and tell about what God did and everything. But sometimes we rush things. We need to wait in God. There is a time and things for everything. I was a bit too young and immature. So I went there. I remember going to, with my pastor to this place where it was only for men. It's a big farm full of men with drugs, addictions, and alcohol. And when I told my testimony, praise God, it was like, I don't know how many, but lots of men accepted Jesus. And then, do you know that? That hit me, went through my head, because people started telling me how blessing I was, how powerful I was, how, be careful with compliments. God give, God take it. Your voice, your talent, your guitar, your drums, he gave you the wisdom to learn, but if it comes to your head and it's not for his glory, he can take away from you. And that happened to me. I was feeling so Christian. I was looking down on people who didn't, you know, was dedicated to God as much as I thought they should. And then I started to judge people a lot. And then that's when I fall. God says, be careful when you stand there, because you think you stand there for me, but you can fall. No matter who you are, how powerful you think you are. And that's exactly what happened to me. I fall and I started going backwards again and meeting people that I shouldn't. So praise God, God didn't let me stay for long on that. I come back to UK, not the same woman as I was, broke again. And then in that time, less than 3 months, I met my husband David, who is not Christian. It wasn't, but he's getting there. And then we started having a life together, and I thought I could live without God. Once you know the truth about God, you'll never be the same. You'll never be the same. You can try to live in the world, but you not work. You know, it's not going to work for you. I was trying to live with him my cuckoo life again. We're going out in club. Be careful. God is giving you a chance to come back. Don't let it go too late. You can end up in a very bad situation. One night I was in Brighton with David, and we got drunk. And I started to cause trouble on the streets with alcohol disorder. I ended up being locked up in the prison for the alcohol disorder. Yeah, for the night. And that was the most scary thing happened to me after the abortion. I was in that room locked up on my own. I just start crying and saying, God, what I'm doing to my life? I know the way, the truth, and the life. What ever happened to me again? And I went down on my knees and I start crying and cry and say, if you give me a chance to get off this place, because so many things was coming to my mind, I'm not going to leave this place. If you didn't want to tell them that I'm supposed to leave here, I will. They are the police officers. I'm nothing. They, you know, I'm starting to feel so weak, so scared, so scared. Devil brings fears to us. And I just said to God, God, if you give me one more chance to get off this prison, I will go back to you, and I'm going to start to take David as well. So I cause again, God never refuse a broken heart. Come to him the way you are. He will. He's so wonderful. He's not like us who get disappointed and don't give you another chance. He will give you a chance, just like he did to King David. But you need to ask it. Don't let it go like me. Don't let it go to prison. Don't let it go in a big situation in your school, in your job. And give it now. Let him use you. Let him be a man of God, a woman of God. Like Daniel's young, like you guys are young and did so much. You can do so much because you got all the young for you. People look at you and say, wow, he's young and he's following God. I want to, isn't it? So that day I got up the prison. David went to pick me up in front of the police station. Terrible. And then we got to move David to a little city called Northampton. We started to go to this little church in there, and we started to go to the church every Sunday. We start to pray, and I start to pray for David, fasting every single time. God, I don't accept David in the clubs. I don't accept David drink. I don't accept. It was a long walk, But today, and I remember David saying that to me so many times, you met me like that. I wasn't Christian, okay? I'm never going to stop drink. I love drink. I'm English, you know? And I was like, God, I don't accept this, you know? And then today, I'm not joking, David hates alcohol. He hates alcohol. What God's been doing in his life is unbelievable. He completely gave up alcohol for, it's been 5 years probably. He doesn't like to go out clubbing. He got so many invitations of friends whose friends got clubs and pubs and restaurants. So many times he just say, no, thank you very much. So you're going to have to say no so many times to your best friends and people if you want a new life. And God is giving us a new life. We got two beautiful children. We bought our house. David, he used to drink. He used to spend all his money drinking and stuff. Since he stopped that, God bless him with a house, a job, a family. Today we are here to testify the power of Jesus, what he can do to families, young people, children, kids, whoever you're going through, depression. God can change your life. That's my testimony. God bless you.